you'd speak through him. I pray that just your spirit would just prepare our hearts now for what you want to say. And so we're just thankful. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for what he did for us. And Lord, we just lift this Christmas to you, and our eyes will be lifted to the King. So I pray for Braun, ask you to use him tonight. It's in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Hey, well, wrapping up this little two-week Christmas series I want to do with you guys, I want to talk to you again this week about snapshots of Christmas. You guys can remember thoughts or memories that you remember that were great times. Presents that you got, times you remember about hanging out with family or whatever. And thought I'd show you a couple of, we try to encourage our leaders with some Christmas pics. David and I, and we took a couple of pictures here this week that I want to show you. David and I in some nice outfits here, if we have those. There you go. Then our that was given to some of our leaders. They were very thankful for that. And then another one. Yeah, that again, right there. Bron, Santa, and David the Elf. So, good stuff. yeah, it's a little sketchy. Anyway, when I was thinking about funny memories of Christmas and just snapshot memories, I wanted you to think about the people that were around when Christ was born. And you guys, I hope you never get tired of this story. I know that as a young kid, since you were really young, you were told about Jesus and what happened and how he was born. And I think it's almost become trivial to us. It's almost become another story, or almost like we would talk about Santa Claus at Christmas or whatever. We kind of talk about these fun stories. And I just want you to remember this was real. And this really happened. And the way that Christ was born and the way that God chose to do this was an amazing picture of grace and humility and love and justice and all that entails and wraps up our Lord. But I want to just take you through some of the folks that you guys know were right there with Christ. And first of all, the shepherds. Look at this verse in Luke 2. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The thing that stuck out to me in that scripture, the snapshot of the shepherds, if we had a camera there and we were taking a picture of the way they responded, I love the way that they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. There was a sense of, you know, they were eager to go know this Savior. And as each person that we talk about tonight, I'm going to ask you, is that a picture of your life right now? If we took a picture of you, would we see it this week? Did we see you, if we had took a roll of film, we showed kind of your week, would we see you eager to know the Savior? Would we see you someone that is, man, you are hurrying to go be with Christ. You are so eager to get there. You guys, think of the things that you love to do more than anything. When those times are coming up, Melissa Miller tonight, for instance, is at the Dallas Cowboy game. Okay, our leaders got her tickets to the game tonight, okay? And she happened to take my wife, which was really great because my wife loves the Cowboys, okay? So they're at the game right now, and they were very eager to go all day long. And even after she got that gift on Thursday, she was like, I just can't wait. And I wonder if that is how we are with Christ. We can get so excited about sporting events and about teams. And I got really excited yesterday. You guys, how many remember the Grizzlies, the team that I coach? The kindergarten team, the team that went 0-7-1 last, one was a tie. Thank you. Thanks. Good coaching. And we came back with a 16-16 tie at the end. Well, we had our first game yesterday as big-time first graders now. And the Grizzlies got their first win. All right. The team that we were playing forfeited because they didn't show up. No, I'm kidding. We actually won a game, and we scored. I mean, we beat a team 18-2 yesterday. Okay, now it was solid defense wins championships. You know that, and I was that team last year, and I'm probably going to be that team again. Believe me, if we win a couple of games, I'm going to be really excited. But I started feeling sorry for the other team because that was us last year. Teams were just thumping us and just going, you know, kind of giving that look like, sorry, man, you know. So anyway, that's what I felt like last night. But it was funny how that brought joy to me, and that I was, and I, you know, at first I was kind of going into the game going, oh man, I, this is going to be a long season again. And even if we lose, I'm really not losing too much sleep over it. But it's just one of those deals where when you're trying to coach a kindergartner, that will bring some anxiety. You're like, okay, what we want you to do is dribble. And they're like, what? And so it's a different deal. But I will be eager for next week to see what happens. Now, I may come back to you here soon and go, we lost our next 6-7 games. But it's still fun. But anyway, in eagerness to be there, and I wonder about you guys. Guys, we have, as Todd was sharing this morning, I don't know if you guys were there this morning, that was an incredible challenge to us, that life lived outside of an eagerness to know the Savior and His Word is just foolish. And it leaves us empty and wanting, but we keep chasing so many things. So if we took a picture of you right now, this Christmas season, do we see you eager to be with the Savior? Would you be hurrying off to go, man, I get to go be alone with the Lord. I get to be in His Word. Okay, the second picture that I thought of was, let me say this about that. We don't have a passive faith. When it comes to the way they hurried off and they pursued Christ and wanted to know who He was, that's the way we should be. And I was spending some time with the junior guys in my Bible study this week, and we were talking about James 4. We're wrapping up the book of James. Got one more chapter left. But look at James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. That part right there of coming near to God, see, that is not passive. It's not a deal where we sit around and go, man, I just hope God shows up. It is a deal where we go pursue Him and come near to Him and we draw near to Him. Look at this next verse. Let us draw near. This is Hebrews 10. I was reading that this week again. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. See the verb there again, draw near to Him with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Let me ask you this. This week, has that been a picture of you, that you have eagerly sought the Lord the way the shepherds did, the way the Scripture admonishes us to do? Then I started thinking about the wise men. You guys know the story here. The wise men actually came in, and they were bringing gifts. We all know they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I want to ask you this. It's a great question. As we look at the way others responded to Christ, are you using your gifts for the Lord? Are you bringing your gifts and leaving them at the Lord's feet? Here's what I believe, you guys. The Lord has given each of you gifts. And you go, oh, I don't know. I'm not the most gifted person. I'm not the funniest. Or I don't have the best personality or all that. You know, God has given some of you the gifts of serving, some of the gift of exhortation to encourage others. Somebody's given you the gift of giving, and you're just naturally a giving person. And if you're not using them for the Lord, you're not bringing your gifts and laying them at Christ's feet, and you're missing out. Again, Christmas, what I'm trying to tell my boys all the time is we talk about what is Christmas about? And today I was asking Braden that, and he said, no, it's about what Christ did for us. And I said, why do you think we give gifts? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, because Jesus, first of all, was the greatest gift to us, that he would come and die for us and was born to give his life for us. And then we got the example of what did the wise men do? They gave Jesus gifts. I said, Braden, it's the same way God wants to use your gifts, the gifts he's given you. And he wants you to give them back to him. And so I'd ask you that. If we took a picture of you, would we see you using your gifts? Would you be even thinking about, hey, could I use the personality God's given me to build relationships with people who don't know Christ? Would it be, as I use my gifts, would it be pointing people towards Christ, or would it be pointing people towards me? So there you go again, another snapshot. If we took a picture of you this week, what would it look like? And then maybe a couple that you aren't as familiar with. Look at Luke 2. I'm going to read 2:25 first, and then we'll go into the verses I'm going to put up there. There's a guy named Simeon, and it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, listen to this, look at 29 up here. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. See, Simeon's role here was to confirm who Christ was. Is in the temple there, when he saw it was Jesus, he went, oh, this is the Savior. This is the one. This is Israel's consolation that you're bringing. And I want to ask you, does your life confirm to others right now who Christ is? And you know how we do that? We live obediently to him. We live humbly. We confess our sins. We're people who look to forgive others. We love others well. I'm going to give you an example this week for me where I was not a confirming picture of Christ. Easton, my youngest two-year-old son, had to get tubes put in his ears because he has ear infections a lot. And so we went in, and you had to get up at like 5 in the morning, and we had to go to the doctor and get over there, and it was really early, and I had my big cup of coffee so that I could be awake. Well, my wife and Easton were already in the back room, and I came up, and this will show you how mean I can be at times. And this lady, I came in, and I had this cup of coffee, and I said, hey, I'm Easton Brown's dad. My wife's already back there, and she's looking at my coffee. She won't even look at me. She's like, she goes, you can't take that in there. That was her response to me. And I, okay, and me being the loving guy, I said, thanks for the point. That's what I said to her, okay? And handled that really well. And I just went, thanks for the point, like that. And I kind of caught myself, and I said, she goes, oh, well, you know, I could watch your cup of coffee for you or something. I said, that's okay, you know. And I just responded in a way that wasn't very loving. And I'm sure she didn't look at me and go, that guy loves Christ. You can just tell by the way he handled that, okay? And I remember leaving there, and okay, and I'm feeling convicted. Yeah, I'm feeling like, man, so we go back out. Easton has his little 8-minute surgery, cost $80,000 or whatever it does. And we come back out, and I get in the, and that was a little, I was irritated too. And I'm out in the lobby, and I look over, and I see her there, and the Lord's going, you got to go ask her forgiveness. Okay, and I was like, nope.
Not going to do it.
And so I sat there, and I was like, kind of took my mind off it and left. And anyway, so we take Easton home. I don't think about it much. Then I'm hanging out with Angie later, and she says, I told her the story. I said, man, I really didn't handle that very well. And she goes, you probably should have asked, you know, apologized to her. I was like, yeah, probably, but, you know, it'll work out. And so that was two times I'd felt someone had said, you know, my wife had now said it, the Holy Spirit kind of convicted me. And then I go to meet with a couple of guys that I meet with accountability, and I tell them the story, and they said, hey, I think there's something in Proverbs about making amends. And I was like, yeah, that's a good one. So I'm leaving, and I'm thinking, I got to get back to the office. This was like Thursday morning, and I was like, I don't want to go back there. And the whole way back to the office, the Lord was going, go talk to her. And so I didn't. No, I did. Okay, so I went over there, and I walked in, and there was another lady there, and I thought, oh, she's not here. So my first thought was, she's not here, so I'm just going to turn back around. And I thought, well, I need to go and see if she's here. So I went up to this lady that was working the desk, and I said, hey, I was here yesterday, and I said, well, there's a lady that had dark hair that was here working the desk, and she kind of looked at me like, why do you want to know? And I said, let me tell you why I want to know. I said, I was really rude to her yesterday. I need to ask her forgiveness. And she goes, she's not here right now. She goes, that is so nice. And I said, could I write her a note? And so I sat there and wrote her a note and just said, hey, I was really rude. And I said, I want to represent Christ to everybody I'm in contact with. And I didn't do a good job of that with you yesterday. And I just said, will you forgive me? And I left her a watermark card just to tell her, you know. And the lady, as I was doing that, the lady said, oh, you're a great testimony to me. She goes, I just became a Christian. And she said, I really appreciate you doing this. And I thought, Lord, that's why you wanted me to come back there. You know, God's plans, guys, are not like ours. And what he does want from us, though, each of us, though, is one picture he wants for us is even that we would confirm who Christ is, even in the way we admit our mess-ups. And so I left that with that lady, and this lady starts telling me how she was, and she asked me where our church is, and so I left her a card. Who knows what God wanted to do? But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I needed to go humble myself and say that to that lady and confirm who Christ is in my life. Now, let me tell you something. Every bit of me had great reasons why I shouldn't. She was rude to me. You guys ever had those justifications? Oh, she probably wouldn't even remember me. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just blow it off. You guys, be obedient to the Lord. Confirm who he is by the way you're obedient to him. And that's what we saw there in Simeon. And look on at Luke 2:38, a lady named Anna. It says, coming up to them as they at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke out about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is a lady that was a testament of who Christ is. And so she was quick to confirm again and share with everybody who the Savior was. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You guys, that's how we should be. We should be people who are speaking to all people about Christ, because he is the redemption, not just of Israel, but we've been grafted in too. And so if we took a picture of this of you this week, would we have seen you sharing about who Christ is with others? Would you be speaking to others about who Jesus is? And look at the last one, Luke 1:76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Let me tell you, this was, if you look here, this was talking about John the Baptist, and this was Zechariah, his daddy, talking about him. And you think about the picture of John the Baptist, one who responded to Christ. All these were responses to Christ. Some were eager to go see him. In John the Baptist's case, he was a humble man who said, I am put here to prepare the way for the Lord. I couldn't think of a better picture for us than to be people who prepare the way for the Lord for others, that they would see him, just like we talked about with Anna, that they would see, we'd talk to others about Christ, our lives would point people towards Jesus. John the Baptist was a weird-looking dude. We all know that. He was wearing some wild clothes. He's out there in the wilderness. He's telling people to repent. But you know what? His whole message was, hey, I must become less and he must become greater. There's one coming after me who is far greater than me. And here's the question for you. If we took a picture of you this week, would others say, you know what? It's obvious that Christ is far greater in that person's life, that they love him even more than they love themselves. That would preach. That life would talk to people in major ways. People would go, oh man, I see it now. So simply, real simple talk tonight. But here's the application. Like the shepherds, man, run to Christ. That'd be the first thing. Run to him. Man, run to him all week this week, and you will see how God will use you. He'll convict you of things. You may have to go be obedient and go talk to people that you're going, man, I don't want to have to go ask her for forgiveness. Run to Christ. Secondly, the second thing up there is to bring your gifts. And bring your gifts to the Lord and go, Lord, I want you. I know you've given me certain gifts, and I want to use them. You know what? Some of us get so distracted with our gifts is we want somebody else's gifts. We go, man, I wish I was as funny as them or as a good singer like them or whatever. And we miss out that God made you the way he made you, and he wants to use you. So don't want everybody else's gifts, because then you're saying God didn't make you the right way. And God doesn't make junk. All right, so bring your gifts. Third thing, confirm who Christ is in the way you ask forgiveness, in the way you love others, in the way you speak of him, that you're not embarrassed to do that. Fourth thing, prepare the way of the Lord, just like John the Baptist, man. This picture of, it's not about me, I'm just pointing you to him. My life wants to point you to where life is found in Jesus Christ. And the last one is one that I want you to think about, that we should live this way all the time, is eagerly await his return. You know, we sang that song tonight, Here He Comes, Hallelujah, Here He Comes. I don't know that we live, I think we think about Jesus' birth, his death, and resurrection, but we don't think much about his second coming. And I'm going to tell you, this birth that we're celebrating right now was the start of an incredible story that was going to unveil itself through the years with his death and resurrection, but then now we eagerly await his return. You know what? And I hope, you hear people say this, but I don't know that we really live this way, as, man, Lord, come today. I'm ready. You know, some of you could not say that honestly because you have a false understanding of what it's going to be like when we go to be with the Lord. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be more than you could ever imagine here. And we think, oh, wait, I'd miss out on this and this. And you start thinking of things here that you think you'd miss. And I'm going to tell you, it will pale in comparison. So those are some tough things. If you guys would grab on to some of these this week, I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to bring life to yourself and life to others. And that's what we're doing this Christmas. We're celebrating the life of Christ. his birth and his life, his death, and his raising to new life for us. So, man, here's my prayer for you guys this week, and for me too, that if we took Christmas picture of you over this break, which you're going to have a long break here before we meet again. Some of you are going to go on a ski trip with us, would be great. But for those of you who aren't, man, as you take pictures, when you're with your family, man, confirm who Christ is by the way you love your family, by the way you honor your parents, by the way when you're spending time with your cousins or relatives or any of that kind of stuff, family, man, tell them about Christ. Some of you guys are going to be with people who don't know the Lord over this break, for sure. Man, be someone who points them to the Savior. Let me pray. God, thanks for your word. And I pray we'd never trivialize these stories of the wise men that came and the shepherds. And John the Baptist, who was just a messenger in the wilderness, a voice crying out in the desert that says, prepare the way for the Lord. Or I pray that in the desert of Dallas, where people are thirsty and wanting to know you, the living water, that we would be the voice crying out to them by our actions, by what we say, by the way we love others. God, we're thankful for tonight. Thanks for those who chose to come tonight and busy week with a lot of tests and stuff coming up. And thanks for this. I pray they would be blessed and encouraged in their walk with you. And Lord, as always, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that they'd come talk to me or any other leader, and we could share with them the hope that we have in Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let me tell you a couple of things here before y'all roll out. We will not be meeting for Shoreline again.